This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Do we have the determination to confront the slow-motion moral collapse that has taken place in parts of our country these past few generations?
Abraham Lincoln said, states do not have the right to do wrong. And when we have people that say states have the right to pass gay marriage, I say, no, they do not.
My parents took us to church every week. We went to a Lutheran church, First Lutheran in Waterloo. They prayed with us at night. We prayed before we had mealtime. They really instilled wonderful values in us.
You cannot add to perfection. His perfect righteousness is imputed to you the same way your sins were imputed to him when he was on the cross.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
It has been speculated for weeks now, months now, that Texas Governor Rick Perry would enter the presidential race as a GOP candidate. He finally has. Right before that, he had this prayer event that got a lot of press. Already an association between Rick Perry and an evangelical voter. But do we know enough about the man to actually say why evangelicals might be supporting him as opposed to any other GOP or, for that matter, the standing president in the upcoming presidential race? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, August the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us from GetReligion.org to talk about Rick Perry's entrance into the race and his evangelical appeal, among other stories. A little bit later, Dr. Doug Grotheis will be our guest. We'll do a little review of Rob Bell's book, Love Wins. Does he deny the existence of hell? Is he a universalist? And then Dr. Nancy Piercy will join us, author of the books Total Truth and Saving Leonardo. We'll talk about a worldview rationality for biblical sexual morality on this Friday afternoon. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
As far as you can tell from the media coverage, does anybody know Rick Perry well enough to explain, from a journalistic standpoint, why he might appeal to conservative Christian evangelical voters?
It's funny because he's the governor of an extremely large state that is doing quite well economically and whatnot, but most of the media is headquartered in Washington, D.C. or New York, and they are largely unfamiliar with the man. So they are, it's been kind of funny to watch the coverage and the confusion they have about why this guy is so popular.
What have they said about an evangelical connection for Rick Perry?
Well, that's, you know, one of the things that that was most interesting to the media in the last week. He hosted this Christian prayer event where Christians in Texas gathered to pray for the health of the country. And the media coverage seemed to indicate that from the perspective of journalists, this was an absolutely horrifying entry into holy war. And I don't think they quite got how it played in Texas, where it might be just more typical, political activity, political/religious activity. And so there was a bit of the, you know, gorillas in the mist kind of coverage of it. So they are really interested in the fact of stuff like this, the fact of the prayer event, and that he talks about his faith openly. That is always very difficult for reporters to handle, particularly, again, those who are headquartered more on the East Coast, where that's not such a typical way of talking about one's religion. And so they're struggling and they're coming to terms with it. And I think they're probably also somewhat threatened by the lack of knowledge they have, the appeal that he has to a broad swath of voters, and not just evangelicals, but other types as well.
There was a great article, I think, in Texas Monthly Magazine. Someone wrote about 5 or 7 reasons why Rick Perry isn't George W. Bush. Do you think that the media is going to be able to make the distinction between these two former Texas governors and their aspirations for the presidency?
I think that they might be able to, in part because there is so much animosity between T. Team Bush and Team Perry. I think that's one of the stories that's kind of been coming out recently, is that so Rick Perry, for instance, made a comment about monetary policy, and he referenced how he didn't think that Ben Bernanke was doing things right and that he should be treated as such. And it was actually Team Bush, you know, people from the Bush administration, that really fanned the flames of that story and got it going, and got it to become a major story in the media. Now, it's kind of interesting to see the media now going to people who are in the Bush administration and quoting them favorably and whatnot, since that, you know, that's not how things were in recent years. But I think that because there's so much animosity between those two groups, you might see some coverage indicating the difference between those two guys. On the other hand, I just, you know, was watching a political reporter talk about how Bush and Perry were indistinguishable in appearance and that they both sound the same and whatnot. So I think you'll see some somewhat schizophrenic coverage there, both using the tension between those two camps for stories, but also trying to paint the two guys as just the same individual.
I got a quick question for you on the ongoing riots in the UK and whether or not you think there has been sufficient media treatment of any religious angles there in Great Britain.
I would say that there are probably huge religion angles that are not being covered in that story. I mean, when you're looking at this just complete social breakdown, not that it's something we haven't seen before, I don't think the moral, ethical, or religious angles have been covered enough. I did think that there was one story that was actually handled pretty well. There were three Muslim men who were mowed down by a car as they were trying to protect Muslim businesses, and all three men died. And this father came out to help them, or this guy came out to help the men and realizes that one of the men is his son. And he then pleaded with people not to retaliate. He spoke at his mosque and talked to them about how the riots had to end and whatnot. So he's been hailed by the British press as a beacon of reason and calm in this, you know, horrible situation over there. And as the media has covered this story, they've actually done a pretty good job of explaining that these guys had just gotten home from Ramadan prayers and breaking the fast, and that this guy says his faith has been helping him, his religious views have been helping him through this situation. And they actually have covered that angle pretty well. But I suspect that there are many, many more religion stories that have gone uncovered or undercovered during this time.
With a few minutes left to us, World Youth Day 2011 is on us. This is a big event for both the Roman Catholic Church and for Pope Benedict. He has some big shoes to fill here. You say that a lot of the coverage leading up to this event has been somewhat cynical. What do you mean?
Oh, it's been actually amazing. It's a huge event, 1.5 million people descending on Madrid, and the story has all been about the cost of the event, which is something like $72 or $74 million, and the fact that a very small number of priests, you know, less than 1% of the priests in Madrid, I don't remember exactly what it would work out to, or in Spain, are protesting it as being too expensive of a thing. And it's a very bizarre way to cover it. No one's talking about the content of the event, what Pope Benedict might say to the youth who are there, what the theme of the event is, what the goals are, why young people are coming out to hear him, what these young people are like. Nobody's covering that angle of the event. They're all focused on the protest and the costs, and it's just kind of bizarre. I mean, it's like if you, I was trying to figure out if this is like an exorbitant amount for an event, so the last major event I went to was the Democratic Convention in Denver, which had a much smaller number of people and cost something like $52 million, you know, maybe like a tenth as many people or fewer than that, but $52 million. But so I thought, well, that sounds like it might be actually like a totally normal amount of money to spend. So it was just bizarre to see all the costs being highlighted and the protests being highlighted, but literally nothing about the religious content, why it's important, what the goals of the event are, how it affects the lives of the people who participate. And it's a really a stunning indictment of the media's lack of interest in and ability to understand what events like this are about. and what they achieve. It's just bizarre coverage.
It's funny that they highlight the kind of the waning of Roman Catholicism in Spain and yet fail to answer that question. Why would 1.5 million people show up to spend a couple days with the Pope?
Yeah, that is, that's actually something I hadn't even thought about, because they are highlighting that, you know, instead of, I don't know, you know, there's been some drop in the percentage of Catholics, self-identified Catholics in Spain. But yes, of course, World Youth Day is this huge event. It happens every 2 to 3 years, and they're finding that quite a few young people are interested in it, no matter where it is, throughout the world. And that does not fit the narrative that's being encouraged, I guess, and so it just does not get highlighted.
With only about 30 seconds, is that somewhat typical of the way that worldwide Roman Catholicism is covered by the Western media? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just that's one of the more dramatic examples of the hostility that a lot of the press has toward religion. I think that the strength of the Catholic institution makes it a natural sort of, not enemy, but antagonist to the media, and they are actually advocating for different things, and so you see quite a bit of that tension there.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. We'll have a link to GetReligion.org at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Doug Grotheis. Rob Bell's book, Love Wins, has been out for some time. And, of course, there was a firestorm of reviews of this book from one of the Emergent Church's biggest leaders. I would say the leader at this point of the Emergent Church, if we can call it a movement with a leader, about whether or not Rob Bell denies the existence of hell, and a broader question, whether or not Rob Bell promotes a kind of universalism in denying the existence of hell. Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary will be our guest. Then Dr. Nancy Piercy will join us. We'll talk about a worldview rationality for a biblical sexual morality, especially for our young people. Stay tuned.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. Bulletin Board Flyer, and print.